God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
I know that we have been watching the coronavirus pandemic unfold right before our eyes. This is a global pandemic. Never before have so many people been affected by a single disease, and never before have so many people received so much news coverage. This is Pastor Larry, and I'm glad you could be with us. One of the things we must not do is forget about heaven. I believe we will pull through, but some will be affected by the coronavirus and lose their lives. Randy Alcorn describes the death of the Christian as a surprise party. I want to explain. I think he's got a good idea. Supposing a friend invites you to a party where you will know some people but not many. The food is adequate, but nothing extraordinary. You enjoy meeting some new people and visiting with a few familiar people you know. Suddenly, your friend announces it's time to leave. You are not quite ready to leave, but off you go. When your friend drops you off at your house and you open the door, surprise! Your family and closest friends are there. They have brought many gifts and covered the table with your favorite delicacies. The first party was simply a ruse to get you out of the house so that the second party could be organized. Had you stayed at the first party, you would have missed the real party, the one in heaven. You know, friends, life on earth is like the first party, pleasant enough, but for the Christian at death, you open the doors of your true home and discover that the real party is taking place there. How blessed we are to have received the gift of eternal life. We're back with Dr. Tom Horn. In our previous program, we were discussing his new book, Shadowland. The subtitle accurately expresses the contents of the book. Here's the subtitle. From Jeffrey Epstein to the Clintons, from Obama and Biden to the occult elite, exposing the deep state actors at war with Christianity, Donald Trump, and America's destiny. Thank you, Tom, for being back with us again. That last show was fantastic, and I know we're going to have another great show.
Well, thank you for having me here.
Well, could Shadowland's elite use the coronavirus pandemic to initiate the mark of the beast? In fact, do you think it's maybe one of the trigger events that you were speaking about?
Yeah, absolutely. So on the last program, I said I think one of the trigger events would cause the incoming of a socialist system under Antichrist. The second thing, though, I have for a long time believed that Antichrist would cause something, because this is what Revelation 13:16 says. It says, and he causeth all, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. The phrasing in that verse has always been interesting, because the Greek verb for causeth, poio, implies that something is set in motion by the instigator of an event, in this case, the spirit of Antichrist, which then triggers others to have to respond to it. And so one wonders just what is it that the Antichrist will or could have maybe even already initiated that ultimately will result in the majority of the global population making a decision to accept his mark. It would have to be something extraordinary to put so much pressure on, especially freedom-loving people around the world in Judeo-Christian cultures like the United States and others, to cause them to lay aside their personal freedoms, their rugged individualism, as we always say about Americans, maybe even their eternal salvation, if this turned out to actually be the mark of the beast, in exchange for an Orwellian society where one world government oversees the smallest details of their lives and in which human liberty would have to be abandoned. So this has always been on my mind. Given the cherished idea of free moral agency, the causeth all is going to be no easy task, and it would necessitate a global scale incident to set in motion the man of sin's cause, which would then somehow overwhelm the average person's ability to resist receiving the mark of the beast. What could that conceivably be? Now, in the book Shadowland, and keep in mind, this book was written at the printer before coronavirus was even mentioned. It literally arrived from the printer into the warehouses around the same week that people started talking about coronavirus, and now over the last few weeks, media outlets like yourself and ministries have been receiving review copies of the book and are now talking about it. So the timing of this is perfect, because in Shadowland, I asked that question, and I answered, could it be a natural or a manufactured global pandemic that then sets in motion this push for a cure? Now, how do I frame that? According to the Global Health Security, GHS Index, which was compiled by scientists from Johns Hopkins University, Center for Health Security, and also the Nuclear Threat Initiative, a deadly pandemic, influenza, they wrote this just a few years ago, they said could kill as much as 80 million people worldwide. They dubbed it Disease X. It was at the time a theoretical pathogen that even they said could be a coronavirus. And either way, whether you believe this current pandemic is the one or a precursor to, a foreshadowing of, if you believe in the book of Revelation, then you know it's coming. You know a worldwide disease is coming. Revelation 6:8, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed him, and power was given to him over the fourth part of the earth to kill the sword with hunger, with death. And then it has this phrase, and with the beasts of the earth. Now, that's an interesting statement. In fact, I asked a biologist recently on a program, does that mean everybody's going to get attacked by a bunch of lions and tigers? And the point was, wait, no. Revelation 6:8, this list of weapons that is given to Thanatos, sword, hunger, death, and beast, the original Greek for this word is therion, and it is a diminutive of the word beast. In other words, it could literally be translated little beast. Now, bats, where they think coronavirus may have come from, I guess would be considered to be a little beast. But I asked the question, yeah, but could this be a microscopic beast, a microorganism, as in a virus? And he said, absolutely, yes. And so in all of this, then you raise the issue of, in light of how politicians are already weaponizing the coronavirus fears as a useful political tool to kind of make people feel like they are cornered, and you ask this question, could a pandemic ultimately give rise to the mark of the beast? Let me tell you my favorite theory. This was actually something that my wife, Nita Horn, came up with years ago when she had a, you know, just this moment when it came to her, and she said, could it be that the mark of the beast is something like a black communion? We know that Antichrist, when he comes, according to Scripture, is going to mimic, parody, steal from, plagiarize, if you will, everything that we know about Jesus Christ. Jesus was the Son of God. He operated in the power of his Father. So Antichrist is the son of perdition and the manifest power of Apollo. Jesus did miracles. Antichrist will perform lying signs and wonders. Jesus triumphantly entered Jerusalem. Antichrist will focus his seat of authority from the holy city. Jesus was crucified, rose from the dead. Antichrist will receive a deadly head wound and come back to life. That list goes on and on. People can Google and find these long lists online where it shows that those comparisons go on and on. But imagine this. As Jesus told his followers in John 6:53, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in you, on which the symbolic ordinance of communion with God is based, and we practice that during Christian worship. So what if Antichrist came along and provided a demonic communion that resulted in mankind partaking of the flesh and the blood of Satan's son? How would that work? Well, if you had a pandemic, people around the world are dying, there doesn't seem to be any kind of a cure for it, and then all of a sudden a man comes forward, the Antichrist, and he appears to be the only person on earth whose genetic makeup is naturally immune to the pandemic. And so they rushed the creation of a vaccine based on his plasma. Everybody is forced to receive it because of the number of people who are dying, and people are literally partaking of the genetic makeup of Antichrist, the mark of the beast. Now, that's just a fanciful idea that I believe is a possibility, but it is one way of thinking about how a pandemic could give rise to the arrival of Antichrist, but also the initiation of the mark of the beast. That's just one of the things, an issue really that I raised in the book Shadowland before the coronavirus was even in our crosshairs.
There's so much we could talk about, but I was absolutely fascinated by Orgy Island, Epstein's Island, where there's an unidentified goddess greets people at two locations who appears to be the Hindu goddess Kali, goddess of sexuality and violence, and then there's a variant of Shiva, god of destruction, and you, in your book, Abaddon Ascending, you talk about how it was displayed at CERN. And then another strong contender for the enigmatic female figure is Inanna, goddess of sex rites and torture. And just tell us a little bit about Orgy Island and some of the things that were involved and about the cornerstone. There's so many things. It's just absolutely fascinating, but I think it's very revealing about the extreme darkness and demonic forces behind all of this.
Yeah, so here's the deal. If people don't buy the book for any other reason, they ought to get it to read that part of the book, chapters of the book, that deal with what I call Epstein's Orgy Island. And I do name names. There are really well-known political figures and business figures that are named in the book. I do thorough documentation. There's pictures and images. I was able to acquire, and I had to do this top secretly, but I was able to acquire high-resolution drone footage of Epstein's Orgy Island. And the guy that did it for me could, I guess, get in trouble, maybe with the people that are protecting that site. But we reproduced images and photographs, for instance, of Epstein's little St. James Lolita Island. By the way, I call it Orgy Island. The locals there call it Pedophile Island. But it's a place where this endless supply of minors were transported by a team of child abductors and forced to partake in very debauched ceremonies involving Epstein and his wealthy, world-spanning pedophile friends, which I do name. And so I take the island apart. It begins with what some people call the temple that is on Epstein Island. It's a temple of very telling design. It's got a fake painted door. It's got a medieval era lock on the front door designed to keep people barricaded inside so that you can't open the door from the inside, only from the outside. Behind that's a serpent column connected in history to the Greek sacrificial tripod from ancient Delphi and Apollo, again, Apollyon, the angel guard of destruction that the Bible tells us that spirit is going to inhabit Antichrist. But if you look at the design of it, the way it's painted, it's based after the Haman Yalbuga, which was a Mamluk-era building located in Syria. Mamluk literally means property. It was used to designate slaves, sex slaves. During the Mamluk era, children were captured by the ruling class, and they became slaves. Some of the boys were sex slaves. Some of them were turned into soldiers, while the girls were groomed to become the personal concubines of their masters. And so he specifically designs his building to look like that. But there's other stuff on that island. There is a berm area there that is highly occultic. There is a very large sundial that is highly occultic, with 13 seats set in the exact position that they would need to be, with rune stones and sacrificial stones placed at the open hours of the clock. Anybody that's ever been part of a high satanic or witchcraft order where they practice the darkest kind of witchcraft would immediately look at this and recognize exactly how this was being used. But it's the berm area that was the most disturbing to me. I was able to acquire photographs from 2013 that showed the berm area. The berm, the walls that are made out of dirt are 20 feet high, so this is not something somebody's going to run out of. And there's only one entrance to it. It comes into an area that navigates around the four corners of the berm area. Then there are four inlets that walk inside to a circular area, and inside that circular area is a square. And once again, anybody that is trained in the craft of the dark arts knows exactly what that is for. It's only made for one thing, and that's for necromancy and human sacrifice. And you see it all throughout antiquity. Literally for thousands of years before Jesus Christ walked the earth, this very exact same pattern is found from Babylonia to ancient Syria to other places where human sacrifices were made. Ironically, you find the same pattern today in Washington, D.C., out in the mall, where four distinct pathways walk to an inner circle inside of which sets the square base of the giant obelisk of Osiris, also known as the Washington Monument. And that in the Vatican courtyard, exact same thing, four distinct pathways walking to an inner circle, inside of which sets the square path, the square base of the obelisk that was actually removed from ancient Heliopolis, that was dedicated to the sun god Ra and Osiris, again for necromantic purposes, for raising Osiris through ritual sex magic from up out of the underworld. But it's that same pattern you also find, for instance, in Mayan cultures, where their great temples had four pathways that walked to an upper area inside of which set a square where human sacrifices were made. So this pattern was used redundantly. Now, what happened was, when investigators started closing in on Epstein and he knew that he was going to be arrested, all of a sudden from out of nowhere, here come, you know, the big earth movers and crawlers. They go in and they push all of that area out of the sperm area, and they installed a tennis court of all things in over the top of it. So if you go to Google Earth and you're looking at these images, go back to 2013, you'll see the pattern I'm talking about. Go to 2016, you'll see a tennis court, and then, of course, go to today, the tennis court's gone, and they're just parking a bunch of trucks and stuff in there. But that is just the tip, literally, of the iceberg of what is uncovered in the book Shadowland. And then the big question is asked, why were these people? Listen, skulls and bones of children have been recovered from the waters around Orgy Island. What was going on there? And I make some very disturbing conclusions in the book that are based on decades of my own personal knowledge into occultism, but also my conversations with people all the way up to the Pentagon. Through Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, who you've had on your program, I asked him if he could talk to anybody inside the Pentagon and tell me if there was evidence suggesting that satanic activity was going on Epstein's Island, perhaps even including the sacrifice of children. And I got a letter back from a guy inside the Pentagon. The letter was profane, so I couldn't repeat it, but basically he said, blankety blank, yes, strong evidence that this was going on in Epstein's Island. So the book Shadowland is not for everybody, but for anybody serious about spiritual warfare, their walk with God, and wanting to know the agencies that we are up against when we bend our knees in prayer. This is the one book. If you haven't read another book in a while, this is the one you've got to get in, you've got to read it.
I would certainly agree with that. And you raised a question, is another great awakening possible? That's a very intriguing section. And I know you and I believe in revival, and it's going to have to happen in the power of God, because the satanic dimension here is overwhelming. Well, Tom, thank you so much for these two shows. Always a joy.
Thank you, Larry, for having me on. I love you and Southwest Radio Ministries.
Well, friend, Shadowland is indeed a must-read for every Christian in our listening audience. I really mean that. The dark information on Jeffrey Epstein, Hillary Clinton, and others is very dark, but Tom has put in many hundreds of hours documenting all this corruption, and it's unbelievable. Matthew, please come to the mic. I know our listeners will want a copy of Shadowland.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the book that exposes the actors in the deep state. It is titled Shadowland, and you can have a copy for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States and $40 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. If you would rather write and place your order, the address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order this eye-opening book anytime online on our recently remodeled website at swrc.com. A great companion to this book is the book titled Masquerade: Prepare for the Greatest Con Job in History by Carl Gallups. You can have a copy for a gift of $20. Better yet, get both books, Shadowland and Masquerade, for a gift of $30. This is a $40 value for $30. While you're stuck at home in this quarantine, why not learn what's really going on? The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 7-3-1-4-7. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
It is the summer season. It won't be long before the kids go back to school. Many families are planning the trip of a lifetime. Are you thinking of a vacation before the summer is out? You know, Marvin, people plan their vacations and have high hopes that they will have a super time.
That's right, Pastor Larry. But tragedies happen when you least expect them. They are an inconvenience and sometimes deadly, especially when they happen on a dream vacation that leads to death. The U.S. State Department's international travel page says, quote, "Visiting other countries can be a great experience. Sometimes, in spite of good planning, things can still go wrong," close quotes. Indeed they can, Pastor Larry.
Well, yes, on May the 22nd, a Texas couple, David and Michelle Paul, checked into a hotel on Denarau Island in Fiji. Mark Catalog, Michelle's father, said he got a text message from her on May the 24th that said, quote, "We are both going to the doctor now. We have been throwing up for 8 hours. David also has diarrhea. My hands are numb," close quotes. He said he got a call on May 25th that Michelle was dead. David was dead 2 days later. Fiji's Ministry of Health and Medical Services said that the investigation is ongoing, but that officials don't believe the public is at risk. Fiji is home to just over 900,000 people and is a popular tourist destination thanks to its warm climate with sand beaches and beautiful coral reefs.
That's terrible, Pastor Larry. Just last August, a British couple, John and Susan Cooper, went to Egypt with their daughter and granddaughter for a vacation. After returning to their room, they noticed a strong acetone-like odor. Their daughter, Kelly Ormerod, and granddaughter moved to another room because of the smell. The next day, John and Susan Cooper were dead. British authorities recently complained that they have yet to receive important medical reports that they have requested of the Egyptian authorities in order to identify a cause of death. An attorney in England reported to the Daily Express last year that he was representing 25 people who got sick at the same resort where the Coopers fell ill.
Reports of Western tourists dying are coming from places like Vietnam, Thailand, and Mexico. Two young ladies in their upper 20s and in good health were backpacking in Vietnam. They were suddenly stricken with vomiting, difficulty breathing, and were suffering from dehydration. Theories range from exposure to a strong pesticide used in Asian countries to deal with bed bugs, but banned in the U.S., chlorpyrifos, to someone who put poison in their drinks. They were among some 20 Western tourists, mostly young women, who died in Asia while on vacation between 2009 and 2011. In 2011, Thailand said it would implement new regulations for the use of chemicals and pesticides. The Thailand Department of Disease Control announced it was monitoring chemicals and pesticides used inside and around hotels, tighter oversight of markets and street vendors, and advising visitors about health risks.
Some authorities are warning American travelers that there are some places in the world where Americans are not liked or appreciated. Is it a stretch to say that some individuals in some foreign vacation spots may deliberately attempt to poison American tourists? In addition, many countries do not have the high health, safety, and food standards that we are used to in America. Pesticides, sprays, and a variety of chemicals used to control insect infestation may be too dangerous to be approved in America. Some emerging countries are just starting to open up to tourism and are not yet savvy in what it takes to be a good host. It is wise to check references for resorts and hotels. Usually, vacations set up by American travel agents have a high degree of safety.
God can speak to our hearts through the Bible. Loved by God's people down through the centuries, the Bible claims the inspiration of God as its source. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We have no idea how many lives the Bible has impacted for good.
American presidents have taken the oath of office with their hand on a Bible. Both President Trump and former President Barack Obama used one of Abraham Lincoln's Bibles during their inaugurations. Now, according to the New York Times, another Bible belonging to Lincoln has been unveiled to the public for the first time in 150 years. The Bible, one of six owned by Abraham Lincoln, has been kept hidden from the public since the president acquired it in 1864, 1 year before his assassination.
President Lincoln received the Bible as a gift during a fundraiser in Philadelphia by the hospital that treated soldiers who were wounded during the Civil War. After the president's assassination, his widow, Mary Todd Lincoln, gave the Bible to a Reverend Noyes Minor, a family friend, a Baptist minister, and neighbor. The Bible stayed with the Minor family until recently when they decided to donate it to the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library Museum.
There have been claims that Lincoln, at some point in his life, had been an atheist. Even after he became president, according to Marvin Olasky, Lincoln's God in 1861 and 1862 was the Union, not the God of the Bible. But in 1862, Lincoln's life took a dramatic turn. The war was not going well for the Union. Lincoln was being criticized in both the Union and Confederate press. Personal tragedy struck as well when his beloved son Willie died suddenly. Mr. Lincoln was devastated, and then there was a second Union defeat at the Second Battle of Manassas. Lincoln accepted Christ and wrote, in a letter to a friend, quote, "My own wisdom seemed insufficient. I was driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I have nowhere else to go," close quotes.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the book that exposes the actors in the deep state. It is titled Shadowland, and you can have a copy for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States and $40 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. If you'd rather write and place your order, the address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order this eye-opening book anytime online on our recently remodeled website at swrc.com. A great companion to this book is the book titled Masquerade, Prepare for the Greatest Con Job in History by Carl Gallups. You can have a copy for a gift of $20. Better yet, get both books, Shadowland and Masquerade, for a gift of $30. This is a $40 value for $30. While you're stuck at home in this quarantine, why not learn what's really going on? The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. And the website is swrc.com. Thank you for tuning in today. Tune in tomorrow when Pastor Larry talks with Rabbi Kurt Schneider on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Ministries.